have Scott is back there. Just by showing of hands, if you'd like a Bible, you can follow along. And also, as Dom has mentioned, there is a, I call it salmon, a salmon color outline, if you'd like to follow along that way as well. We're still in our series here, Faith Encounters, looking in the book of Luke, specifically in Luke chapter 7 and 8. And it's been really neat. Just in the month of February, we began where Chick talked with us about faith multiplied. And he talked about the parable of the sower and the seed. And we were asked, how is our hearts? Is our hearts opened? Is our heart shallow? Is it crowded? Or is it hard? A couple weeks ago, Steve continued and he spoke on faith added too. And he spoke about the lamp on a stand. And what I really took from that is about being a light and that Jesus designed our faith to be seen. And then last week, Chick elaborated a little bit more on the parable of the sower and the seed. And we were asked, how's our hearts? And how are we responding to God? And so this morning, we're going to continue in Luke chapter 8. And we're going to be looking at a family of faith. And this is a story of where Jesus encounters his mother and his brothers. And we all, if you think about it, we all have different views of what family looks like. For example, Jeremy, if you can show the next picture there. There was another one. That's the Brady Bunch. Is there a picture of my family up there? That's not my family. There's no picture of my family. Well, I thought I had a picture of my family, but I have a family, and there was a cute picture, so if I could describe it for you. My daughter Emily had the H. She was up against the wall, so if there was a wall here, there's the H. Courtney had the I with the ball, and Tina and I stood there in LL. So that was our family. Sorry, the photo wasn't there. yeah, okay, good. But we all, I really believe we all have a different view of what family looks like. And even in our culture, throughout history, through television, as you can see here, we had different views of family. For example, we had two families come together to form the Brady Bunch, a family who went from two families of four to one family of eight with a maid. And then as time went on, we had family ties, who we had the Keaton family. And that was, if you could say, maybe a good old American family, and sure, they had their problems. Jeremy, is there a slide of those guys too? That's awesome. There's the Keatons. And so they may have their problems here and there, but, you know, pretty good family that we could look to and go, all right, you know, that's pretty good family, and even including Alex P. Keaton's Republican rhetoric. And then as we move on, we had the Gilmore family. Next slide, Jeremy, which comes from the Gilmore Girls, in which we had a single mom and a daughter. And I've never watched the show, and so I'm not even going to comment on it. But it's a single parent and a child. And then as time went on, we also had a family who we may have thought is dysfunctional, and we had the reality TV show of the Osbournes. So, Jeremy, if you could put that one up. And some of us are like, whoa, wait a minute. But or we may have thought that family is dysfunctional. And actually, you know what's really interesting? People were interviewed who watched that program, and they said, why did you just continue to watch the day-to-day life of the Osbournes? They said, it made my family look good, and it made me feel better about myself. So we all have different ideas, really, of what family is. But what I do want to do this morning is I am here to say that I am not saying that family's wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Because we all come from a family. But now in our settings, we have different family settings. We have families here who began as a family and then they've morphed into more families and added to families. And we've had families who have added on to families. And so what I want to say is that family is beautiful. But what we want to look at this morning is what Jesus says about true family. And so we're going to look together. We want to begin in Luke chapter 8, but we're going to start right at the beginning in verse 1 because I want to get us an idea and set the stage for what we're going to look at when Jesus does encounter his mother and brothers. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 1 together. And it says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, his disciples, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom the seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. And these women were helping to support them out of their own means. And at this time, Jesus' ministry, his ministry hub, if you want to call it, was centered in Capernaum because Jesus was rejected in his own hometown of Nazareth. And Jesus was on his, if you want to call it his second ministry tour here of the Galilean countryside. And his main focus for his speaking tour was to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And as we can see here, Jesus was accompanied by many people. But what was interesting was the women that were mentioned here is that the kingdom of God for them had become a reality. And they were supporting Jesus and the disciples out of their own pockets, out of their own modest means. And I believe that'll give us a picture and get us set up for the passage that we're going to read together. And as we move to Luke chapter 8, verses 19 to 21. Luke 8:19-21. And it says this: Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. And someone told him, Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. And listen, this is really interesting what Jesus says here. He replied, My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. You see, Jesus' message and the essence of it was a spiritual one. And Jesus wasn't rejecting his family here, but Jesus was reminding them of what true family was. Because the people had begun to redefine what family was. And over time, they had lost the point of God's intention for true family. Because God's family is inclusive. It's not exclusive. And Jesus was emphasizing his higher priority, a higher priority of his spiritual relationship to those who believed in him. And Jesus was also affirming relationship with those who had heeded to his message and responded to it. Steve also shared a couple weeks ago that Jesus' own brother James in James 1, 22-25 said that we should hear and do what the Word of God says. And a relationship, again, means being responsive to the message, but with hearing without obeying is not enough. And Jesus had become the center of a new community that goes beyond all human categories. And even today, Jesus offers that intimate family relationship with each and every one of us to him. Now, what about Mary. But what about Jesus' mother and brothers? Because they probably traveled about 30 miles from Nazareth to Capernaum, and his family was probably coming to take him home and getting him away from his busy and hectic, heavy schedule. But we know that Mary believed in Jesus. But his brothers, at this point, didn't believe in him. And what was interesting to me was, what stood in between Jesus and his family? The crowd. And so Mary and the brothers had to remain outside and were not a part of an intimate inner circle. So it says that my family are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So what does that look like for us when it comes to hearing and doing? Because that's what Jesus is saying here. And I believe that Beth Moore, in her book, Jesus the One and Only, she said it, and maybe I paraphrase a little bit, but it's about receiving God's word internally and living it externally. And just like Chick asked us last week, how is your heart? Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:47-49. He says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. God's word is powerful. And we'll either be amazed by it and follow, or we'll be repulsed by it and walk away. And it's interesting because in that area, when it would rain heavy, it would flood. It would flood really bad. So really, we can begin to also see what Jesus was getting at. But for us, we're looking at if Christ being the foundation of our lives. And if he's not the foundation of our lives, then we can expect disastrous flooding. Not only is God's word powerful that we listen to and put it into practice, but it's also alive. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says this, For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword,
and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrows, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word was revealed by Jesus and given verbally to us. And the word of God is active in accomplishing God's purposes. And God's purpose of bringing regeneration to humankind through Christ's death and resurrection, but also a new life of holiness to the church, which Jesus is the head of. Jesus put it another way when he said it in John chapter 14, verse 21. He said, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." You know, I thought about just like exercise and a proper diet. If we have those two together and we don't separate them, it works wonders for the body. Well, a love for Christ and keeping his commands cannot be separated, because the love of God cannot be separated from the Son of God. And so if Jesus continues to say, those who hear the word of God and put it into practice, I believe that there's a family that goes beyond the ones that we live with, we reside with, no matter how we define that. So I think we can ask, and it's fair enough to ask, what is the purpose then of a spiritual family? I would ask, what's the purpose of that CD player? Play music, absolutely. Now, if I have the CD player, but I don't have any batteries in it and it's not plugged in, will it work? No. So if I go ahead and if it'll reach, nope, I got to back it up here. So I plug in my CD player and I put my CD in, then it will serve its purpose, correct? Maybe. Well, let's hope it does, Jonathan. Yeah, got to turn it on. I just turned it on and it's reading it, and you're supposed to work. You're not helping me with my, there we go. So we have music. Right? I thought of you, Denny. Okay. But just like the purpose of that CD player is to play, I do believe that there's a purpose for a spiritual family, for the family of God. But I just want to share, if you're following along in your outline, I just want to be very clear about one thing. And in your outline, I have this, if you're filling in the blanks, is that we are all creations of God, but we are not all children of God. Let me say that again. We are all creations of God, but we are not all children of God. Let me explain that. The psalmist David wrote in Psalm 139, 13 and 14, "For you created my inmost being, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Because all things were created by God and for God. And as Rick Warren put it, we have been created for God's pleasure and relationship with him. God created us to be a part of an intimate inner circle, a family, a spiritual family, if we choose to do so. But to be a child of God, we must understand again that we are in need of a Heavenly Father, and that Heavenly Father sent his Son to die for our sins, and that our part is to surrender our lives, heed to his authority, and live our lives with whole devotion. The Bible says in 1 John 2:23, it says, "No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father." Being a part of God's family is not just believing, it's also belonging. And again, as we said, God's family is not inclusive, it's exclusive. Jesus' true relatives are those committed with him to fulfill the purposes of God. But again, as we see in our story, Jesus' mother and brothers were on the outside of that intimate inner circle looking in. I want to show you a friend of mine. Jeremy, if you could put that picture up. This is my friend Eric. Is he not there either? Wow, man. That's all right. But Eric, just a few weeks ago, not even a month ago, gave his life to Jesus Christ. And I thought that was so exciting. You know why? Because Eric became a child of God. Eric became my brother in Christ. He became our brother in Christ for those of us who are in the family of God. And last week, we were actually not here because we were down in Delaware celebrating with he and his family as he was making it public. He was baptized. and after the baptism, and I asked him, I said, Eric, what was it that did it for you? Because Eric did not have a problem with God. Eric had no problem with going to church. He just had a problem with following Jesus. And he said, Jeff, you know I'm an analytical and very, you know, information-based person, but there was nothing anymore that stood in the way of me following Christ. And it wasn't just, you know, Eric just decided, boom, it happened. I mean, there was a journey that he was on. And 17 years, some people said they were praying for him. But the beauty of it is that Eric went from creation to child. Eric went from spiritual death to spirit. There he is. And he's not an angel with bloodshot eyes. But what was beautiful is that, you know, he went from existing to living. And so being a part of the family of God is a really cool thing. But there's some things that we have to understand, that what it takes to be a part of the family of God. And just because, you know, we attend church doesn't mean that we will spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. Christian artist Keith Green put it this way: going to church doesn't make you any more Christian than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. I thought that was pretty cool, because I don't eat McDonald's. But for me, I would say the family of God is like a mosaic. Does anyone know what a mosaic is? Yeah, so it's taking pieces, you know, smaller pieces, and making it a picture. And so that's what I see the family of God like. Now, we have to be honest that sometimes that picture isn't always pretty. And sometimes we have to say, look, my definition of family, I have a hard time with family. And I may even have a hard time with the family of God or the church. And, you know, there may be, even myself, I've been hurt by the church, or I have hurt someone in the church. And but the beauty of it is that if we look to Christ as the head of the church, he will lead and guide us to be the church that he intended us to be. And for most of you who know myself and my family, we love to go to Disney World. That is our vacation spot, and people go, like, I don't get it. Why do you go to Disney World? But let me tell you, when you go there, if you've ever been there, maybe I'm wrong, but help me understand. But when you go, there's this different atmosphere. You know, they claim to be the happiest celebration on earth. And when you go, when you hear the babies crying, you know, when you're out in the real world, you're just like, would you get that kid to shut up? But when you're there, you kind of just smile. You know, it's like, would you go ahead? You can go in front of us. It's okay. And everybody's just so happy. Now, sure, there's griping and complaining at times. But, you know, for the most part, it's a pretty neat place. And not only that, but there are people, I checked online, that have discussion groups. That's all they talk about is Disney. And one of the questions that was posted on one of the discussion boards was, why don't people get Disney? And you should have seen the comments. It was like, they just don't. You either get it or you don't. And I thought about that as we're here, and Jesus is saying, hear my words and put them into practice. And I believe that there is an importance to a spiritual family, the family of God. And we can even ask that. Why don't people get the family of God? Because we have this affinity among us, because Christ lives in us. And it's really neat, because I don't know about you, but for me, have you ever had those moments where you're out just in public, and there's someone that you just start talking to, and you find out they are a follower of Christ? What happens? Your whole conversation and your whole demeanor changes. It really does, if you think about it. And actually, it just happened yesterday to Tom Bagby and I. We were out with some of the students, and this guy had a shirt that said faith on it. So, and he had a flannel over it, and we said, well, what is that all about? And he pulls it open, and there's a Bible verse on there, and we're like, are you a believer? He's like, yeah. And we were like high-fiving each other, and it was such a great time. And the guy said, just wait a minute, I'll be right back. And he leaves the restaurant, and he comes back in, and he said, look, man, I go to church in Souderton, and, you know, if you'd be interested, we're having a men's retreat in about a month. But it just changed the whole demeanor, because he is our brother in Christ. And so, again, it goes beyond our walls here this morning. And we can connect with those who are in the family of God, because the common thread is Christ. So again, just like The CD player has a purpose to play music if it's plugged in and the CD's there and it's turned on. I believe that there is a purpose for the family of God. And so, again, if you're following along in your outline, I just want to share two things with you about the purpose of a spiritual family. The first thing is this, is that a spiritual family helps us understand life in Christ. A spiritual family helps us understand life in Christ. Well, how does that happen? If they help us understand life in Christ, what does that look like? Well, the first thing is that we can meet together regularly, and we can focus on God together. And the Christian life was never meant to be lived alone. And a Christian life that is lived alone, I believe, will leave us empty. And we are encouraged, even in God's Word. And as you can see, there's some passages of Scripture. I'm not going to read them today, but they're for you to take home and just read through. And these are God's words that we can take, we can hear, and we can put into practice. But a passage of Scripture says, don't forsake the congregating of one another. And, excuse me. And so we're encouraged not to abandon that. But here at Hope, that's what we offer. We offer avenues that where we can meet regularly. Here's one right here. Sunday morning experience. Small groups. Concert of prayer, which is the first Sunday of the month. Bible studies, whether it's the women's Bible study on Monday nights or Thursday mornings, or it's the Saturday morning Bible study. And I don't know if you knew this, but and I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute, Caroline, but Caroline Davis meets with other women for prayer on Tuesday mornings here at the church. And it's women from other churches, the family coming together and bringing their prayers and petitions before God. And so I guess we can ask ourselves this, is that are we looking for other members of the family, where we work, where we live, where we play, or even where we go to school? And also, I think that the purpose of a spiritual family is that we can help one another, and we can overcome obstacles and face problems together. And when we help each other, we begin to live life deeply, and we gain assurance in knowing that others have felt the way we do or even gone through what we've been through. And I can think of friends of ours who, Robin Crystal Leesa, and Robin Crystal moved to the Toronto area when we were living there at the time, and they felt a calling to plant a church. But where they were going to plant the church, they needed to have a house built. It was a new developed area, and so Tina and I said, well, you guys can live with us. And they ended up living with us for a year. And as we joked, we would always joke with them. We said, you didn't live with us for a year. You lived with us for 11 months, 14 days. And, you know, but what the beauty of it is that we still keep in touch with them. And they always tell us every time we say, hey, how you doing? They say, we will never forget what you did for us. Because if you hadn't sacrificed, then guess what? We wouldn't be doing what God called us to do. And their church is still going today, and they're seeing lives change and transform. And we said, look, we thought that's what you did. Isn't that what the family of God does for one another? And so that we can help one another, but also we can serve collectively. And we begin to discover meaning together. And so serving together goes beyond the church. It points people to our Heavenly Father. We see our gifts and our abilities being used collectively for His kingdom. I think about Hope Student Ministries' mission trip last summer. It wasn't just Hope Student Ministries that went to Jackson, Michigan. It was other churches that came together. We didn't know each other, but we came together because we had that common thread, who was Christ. And I can remember the thankless thank yous for families who said, we couldn't afford to re-roof our home, or to an elderly woman that said, I could have never painted my home. Or to the person who says, thank you for feeding my lunch at the homeless shelter. Or the child at the camp who just wanted a hug. And so again, but it was people coming together to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. I read a quote in a Christian magazine just a couple weeks ago, and it says that you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. Abundant living comes from abundant giving. And I thought that's so true. I think about our after-school program that we just started. It's about a month and a half into it now. And seeing students come. And all we're doing is just exposing Jesus Christ to them. And it's really neat to see, because developing the relationships with them, several of the boys were having our first annual ping pong tournament this Friday night. And there's several who want to come just to play ping pong. But all we're doing is just sharing the love of Christ with them. And so who knows what that's going to turn out to be. Am I looking to grow the youth program? I just want to see lives changed and transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, if they come, wonderful. But I'm just asking you, as my community of faith here, that you would pray for that. That God would use not just me, but use the students who come to this church to be a light to their students. So if a spiritual family helps us understand life in Christ, a spiritual family helps us grow in Christ. A spiritual family helps us grow in Christ. What does that look like? I think we can begin by saying that we can have accountable living, and we can keep one another in check. And just like I remember my parents would hold me accountable for things I did, the family of God is the same way. And it's having people in our lives who not only love us, but also they know who we are. They know our secrets. They speak truth into our lives. And they challenge us to do things that grow us closer to the Lord and make us become more like Him. And as we have accountable living together, we also are investing in one another, and we grow in our faith together. If you look in the Bible in Acts chapter 2, it's a beautiful picture and a beautiful example of what a spiritual community looks like. They invested in one another, and they took care of each other. And as human beings, we have a longing to belong. And the more spiritually connected we are, I believe, the less we struggle with insecurity and identity. I don't know if you remember Taylor, but she came a couple of summers ago to help with VBS. And unfortunately, to be honest, Taylor and her family didn't have a good experience with the family of God. And she was really struggling the two summers ago when she came with the church, but also with God. But as she took time here, be encouraged. I don't know if you remember, but do you remember when she was up here and she spoke and she said this? She said, "I haven't experienced a church like this in a long time." That is a testimony to who we are here at Hope. Now, do we get it right all the time? Maybe not. But what she saw was a community of faith working together, investing in one another, and she saw a true family. And we also have a Christ-centered lifestyle, and we live the gospel together. Again, because Christ is a common thread. And as we're hearing God's word and putting it to practice, we have a common purpose. Our common purpose is to share the good news of Jesus Christ through what we say and through what we do. My friend Eric said in his testimony before he was baptized, he said, "I didn't need people to come to me with heavy theology. I was just looking for friends." And through that, God used that over the years and years. And I said to his wife, I said, "Sarah, the only thing I did is we went and saw the Lord of the Rings together." But she said, "It doesn't matter. We all play a part." And that was so beautiful that we live the gospel together and we remember, because people are watching how we live. And does that line up with what we say? And a Christ-centered life is making Jesus known. And this can be done in many different ways. So we have to ask this morning, what would it look like if we began to see our community of faith as a true family? Again, not saying that family is wrong, but seeing our community of faith as a true family. And how would that impact our lives and the lives of others? And you know, for some of us this morning, these words of Jesus may have been hard, but we need to look at it from a spiritual perspective. Because the family of God is more than a name, more than the four walls that surround us. It's about the good news of the kingdom of God. Church with a capital C, where Christ is the head. And remember, it's not about rejecting. It's about remembering. And if I'm honest with you all this morning, my family and I reminded ourselves about true family some years ago, back in 2000. And I believe that if we hadn't have done that, we wouldn't be here today. You know, being a part of a mosaic is a pretty neat thing, and there's a couple of questions that I want to ask all of us this morning. For those of us who are in the family of God, what will be the community of your life? Will you begin to demonstrate your commitment to the family of God? And will you begin to hear God's words and put them into practice? There may be some of you who are here this morning that are outside the family, I'd like to ask you this. Do you feel that you're on the outside looking in, realizing that you're not a part of the family of God? But in all fairness, you may be wrestling with the idea of family. And just like the crowd in our story, what stands between you and Jesus? Because there is a Heavenly Father who is waiting to show you true family. And is today the day you choose to become a child of God and join His family? Myself and the elders will be here after the service if you choose to talk about that and would like to know what it means to be a part of the family of God. And as we begin to close this morning, I'd like to share Jesus' words again. He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." I'm going to ask the worship team if they come back up this morning. And as they're doing that, I'm just going to ask that you, where you're seated, is just to look around. Just look around you. See the people that are here. You see them? And it may be for you that you're looking around and going, "This is my true family." And you know, the beauty of it is, as I took time to prepare this message, was I'm going to be with these folks forever. And that's pretty cool. And again, this morning, I'd like to share one more time as we finish that if you're not a part of the family of God, what stands in the way? I don't know where you are in that, but it is a free gift that is given through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to ask that we stand because I also want to leave with us this morning. Passage from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. As an encouragement, but also a challenge to the family of God. May we hear these words and put them into practice. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. With all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitudes in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for your words of truth, that they will never change. Lord, we just pray this morning that, Father, that beginning with me, that you would revive our hearts, that we would see with your eyes the spiritual family, our community of faith, the family of God, if we choose so to live in and to interact with and invest in, to live life deeply. Father, my prayer is that for those who may not even recognize what a spiritual family is, the family of God is, that you would touch their hearts and that they would say yes to you. And Lord, that we would continue here at Hope to continually be a place where you transform lives. Father, we thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us, and we will live in that. In Jesus' name, amen.